Good evening, everyone. We are back for the second half of this lesson tonight. I can look out over the audience this evening and I can tell who listened and came back. I want to thank everybody for the compliments concerning the lesson this morning. I heard a lot of things. People came up, told me, I said, I really listened today. And I wonder sometimes if that means they didn't listen to other days that they were here. I heard one, and I'm not going to tell Jade it was Cameron, that said, my wife needs to listen to me. Is that what I heard this morning? I heard all types of compliments and things, and even Brother Michael came up to me after the sermon and said, are you still talking? I said, no. I said, that's good, because I quit listening about halfway through. I appreciate the thoughtfulness of the words that were stated this afternoon, even those that were in jest. I know that you were paying attention. And I pray that tonight's lesson, when we look at it, it will have the same effect on us, but not in just our personal relationships. This relationship that we're going to talk about this evening is the most important relationship that we have, and we want to make sure that what we're doing is we're listening to God's Word. Now, if I were to ask you what you felt was your best physical feature, I doubt seriously that too many of you would tell me your ears. I know that they're cute on babies. I have a grandson. He's got cute little ears on him. And my granddaughter, her ears are cute. But as we get older, the ears continue to grow on us. And they don't always look like they did when we were kids. But they are still probably one of the most useful organs that the body has. And it's one that is oftentimes, when we think about communication, as I mentioned this morning, very likely, even though you claim that you listened to the lesson this morning, you only retained half of it immediately after the lesson. And the further away we get from it, the less you will actually remember. Listening is something that, when we think about it in general, quite often the way we listen is not always with the purpose of learning or retaining what was stated. Sometimes we listen like children, in one ear and out the other. But this morning what we learned was that there were several proverbs that actually tell us about the importance of learning. Not the importance of learning, the importance of listening. And I'm going to use some of those very same scriptures this evening. Some of the same points that we mentioned this morning will be used also this evening, but we're going to look at those now, not in just relationship to one another, but in relationship to God. And so I want us to be thinking about that. Give you another illustration, then we'll get into the lesson here real quick. One of my favorite TV shows was a show called Boy Meets World. And Sean Hunter was one of those students in this classroom, one of the young men that was on the show, and he was kind of the rebel of the class. He had a new media arts teacher come in, and they started teaching, and the teacher drew a picture and told them that he was going to teach them to discern between what is written and what is the truth in media. He said, I'm going to show you what is real in the media. And then as he turned around to the class, he pointed to Sean Hunter and said, what did I just say? And Sean was one of those students that just kind of had that blank look on his face as the teacher said, and he looked at him and said, something about Israel. Well, we listen that way sometimes. I want you to turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 4 real quick. And as we are considering this, even though these proverbs tell us that we need to pay attention, or the proverbs that we looked at this morning told us that we need to pay attention or to incline our ear, what we must realize is that good listening is a learned skill, not just something we were born with. So answer these questions real quick. How do we hear God's Word? Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1. As you begin reading there, what you're going to see in verse 1 and 2, Moses is telling this to Israel, and it's coming from God. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of your Lord God which I command you." Now just stop there for just a second and consider, how do we listen to God's word? Well, do we hear what we want to hear? You know, that's Cameron coming up to me this morning and joking and said, what I heard was, Jake needs to listen to me. Quite often what we do is we listen to God's word and we only take out of it what we desire, what we think benefits us and what doesn't hurt our feelings. And quite often what we talk about, some individuals want to take the Bible and make it a smorgasbord. They want to pick and choose what they want and they want to leave the rest for somebody else. It doesn't fit me. It doesn't fit my appetite. So do we listen to God's word that way? Hear, O Israel, now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you. What Moses was teaching them were those things that were going to preserve them, the things that were going to keep them faithful to God. And he tells them, you don't add to God's word and you don't take away from what I'm telling you. In other words, pay attention and make careful application to it. Are we selective in our hearing? Well, absolutely, we're selective in our hearing, aren't we? You know, we hear and we think about God's word and some of those things that we look at. We can consider the fact that sometimes they seem to be narrow or restrictive in our lives, and therefore they make us uncomfortable and we're not going to listen to them. Or the other part of that is when we realize that it becomes a blessing to us, then we become more receptive to it. We're willing to listen to the good things, aren't we? Well, the Bible is full of things that Moses will tell them at the end of this book of Deuteronomy, that they can choose between blessings or cursings. That they have a choice. If you're going to listen to God's word, you're going to be blessed. If you're not going to listen to God's word, then you're going to suffer the consequences. And so we need to understand that even today, that doesn't make, or it makes a difference in our lives. And I want you to consider this too. I believe that we have to be careful how we hear. And I believe that that is also true, and I want you to turn in your Bibles now, if you will, with me, to Luke chapter 8. There was something that was mentioned in the Bible class this morning about how, what type of effect does the Word of God have in the lives of people, and the comment that was made in the auditorium class, it all depends on how the individual hears. Well, in Luke chapter 8, you have the parable of the sower given by Jesus, and you see that in verse 4, when a great multitude had gathered and they came to him from every city, he spoke a parable. Now, I want you to pay attention to the parable real quick. It says, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell on thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." What I want to suggest to you is, as I'm looking at this, is that Jesus is going to explain the parable in a few verses later. But the people that he spoke to were not prepared to hear what he had to say. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hearing and listening, I said this morning, were two different things. That when we hear, sometimes it just goes in one ear and out the other. But when we are truly listening, when we want to hear, we become fully engaged in what is stated, and we have that desire, so oftentimes, to hear more. The Pharisees and those who were trying to find fault with Jesus, with whatever he said, with whatever he spoke, were those that were predisposed to not listen. even though they thought that they were the religious folk at the time, they were the ones whose ears were stopped up. I want you to continue reading with me in Luke chapter 8 for just a moment. Because verse 9 says, "Then his disciples asked him, saying, what does this parable mean? And he mentions the predisposition of those, beginning in verse 10. And he said, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. And then in verse 11 through 15, we see the explanation of the parable given. Seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Like I said, there's a difference between hearing and listening. Listening is with the intent of understanding. But I truly believe that we can turn things off real quick. We shut down when the message that's being spoken doesn't fit our ideology, the way that we, our predisposed ideas, the prejudices that we have. And so I want you to think that these Pharisees right here were prejudiced against Jesus. They did not want him to be the Messiah. And therefore, Jesus spoke to them in parables, and they weren't going to understand because they'd already had their minds made up. But we're told to be careful how we hear. Verse 18. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. Whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. There's the problem with the children of Israel. They thought the kingdom was theirs. It was going to be given to the Gentiles also. They thought it was just a small group of people, but it was, this message was supposed to go to the entire world. Jesus Christ would die for all men, not just one single nation. And yet what they thought they had was being taken from them. Why? Because they were not listening. What we know about the Pharisees, and I think we all too often we call them legalists, and I think that's an error. Because the Pharisees, even though they were one of the primary religious sect and had the most influence, they were probably the most liberal with God's Word of anybody else. And when you say liberal, what I mean was they were changing it. They were changing it because they were teaching doctrines of men. They'd misunderstood God's Word. They were doing what Moses commanded the children of Israel not to do, adding and taking away from it, because they were altering what it was. Jesus would say to them over and over again, "You have heard that it was said." And then he would come back, "But I say to you," indicating that they were not truly listening to God's Word. Very much so, even though the things that were being preached by Jesus, the gospel message that the apostles would preach, the message that would be sent out and scattered abroad throughout all the world, would fall into various different hearts, would fall on different ears. And some would receive it and later discard it. Some would receive it and it would produce fruit. And so yes, it does depend upon the hearer and how we listen to God's Word. Be careful how we listen. Because Jesus said, take heed how you hear. Verses 19 through 21 of this same text then go on, talk about his mother and brothers and how that some of the crowd there, pay attention to it, right, verse 19. Then his mother and brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told him by some who said, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered and said to them, "But my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." See, Jesus even had trouble with his own family for a while, didn't he? In believing who he said he was. It might have taken them a little bit longer to come around. But he said his family are those who do or hear the word of God and do it. Keep that in mind. It's very important to this lesson. Because we're going to come to James chapter 1 here in just a little bit, and we're going to look at it. Remember, there were Jewish people who did not get it. I tell you what, those words, "you just don't get it," are words I've heard from my wife because I wasn't listening. Those are words that someone one day will stand before God in judgment and say, "but I thought," and said, "you didn't get it." We'll be just like the Pharisees. We'll be just like those of Israel who did not accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah. They could not understand the teachings because they were not ready listeners. They had improper motives. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12. What you're going to see, and beginning at verse 9. Jesus is healing on the Sabbath. "Now when he had departed from there, he went into the synagogue, and behold, there was a man who had a withered hand, and they asked him, saying, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?' That they might accuse him." What was their motive? To find fault. Not to listen. "Then they said to him, 'What man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out?'" Go down to verse 14. "Then the Pharisees went and out and plotted against him how they might destroy him." It didn't matter that the answer that he gave them was a scriptural answer. It didn't matter that the answer that they gave him was right. It offended them, and they were of the mind to destroy him. Improper motives. Just like I mentioned this morning in our own relationships, are we out there just to wait for that first opportunity to jump in and interrupt and correct and find fault? That's all that they were after right there. They were looking for a reason to find fault with the Son of God. Now go to James chapter 1. We want to encourage people to be good listeners of the Word. We want people to understand and pay attention to it because it will save their souls. One of the things that we have been told in the business world, there is a ladder to success. Well, I want to suggest to you there is a ladder to better hearing. And we can see it in James chapter 1. Now, these are personal, and we're going to apply it to God's Word, but when you consider what James is encouraging in these verses, he says, "Be quick to hear." Remember this morning, listen before we speak. That's being quick to hear. I see this in this, being quick to hear is making sure that we use what God has given us to be able to understand. This ladder begins with the looking at the person. We haven't seen God face to face. In order for us to see God today in a figurative sense, what we have to be able to do is we have to look at His Word. We have to be able to stare into the wisdom of God as He has given it to us. And that's the only way that we can look at Him right now, till one day we'll be able to see Him face to face. But right now, in order for us to be able to look at Him, it's through His Word. Those of you that are husbands right now, do you remember the first time you looked at your wife into your wife's eyes? No, and I mean really looked into your wife's eyes, not just in glancing when she was walking past you for the first time. The moment you remember that this is the one, you were really looking at her then, weren't you? You were thinking about everything about her. What attracted you to her? What drew the two of you together? What draws us together with God is His Word. The psalmist says that we meditate upon it. He meditates upon it day and night. What's he doing? He's looking at God's Word intently with the purpose of understanding, with the purpose of learning. Sometimes we have to ask questions, don't we? Because we don't always understand. Think about this now, because the disciples did that very thing with that parable. They asked Jesus to, what does this parable mean? Or is every passage of Scripture going to be understandable the first time we read it? Maybe not. Maybe it might be because we don't have the correct motives. Maybe it's because we're not asking the right questions. But every time we go back and reread something, we might be asking the who, what, where, when, and hows of what the context is stating. Maybe it's asking someone else to help explain the Scripture to you, just like the apostles did, or the disciples did with Jesus Christ in the parable of the sower. But ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. But don't interrupt. And the way I read sometimes is not always conducive to good learning, because what I'll do is I'll read to a point and I'll stop and I'll set things off to the side and then I'll go back to it later. Don't interrupt your time with God's Word. If you're going to spend a certain amount of time with it, remove the distractions so that you can truly meditate upon it. And then don't change the subject. There's distractions that allow that to happen. Remember how easy it is to in a conversation. It's going along and then all of a sudden you decide you don't like it and you want to change the subject. You want to divert the conversation over here. One of the things is with God's Word, we can't do that because God's always going to win that conversation. If you truly want to know about Him, you truly want to know His wisdom, you truly want to know what's going to save you, you're going to be quick to listen to Him and His Word. I don't know how we can empathize necessarily with God, but we can empathize with one another. We see that. What I want to suggest right here is that when we are looking at God's Word, we are going to be engaged. Probably that should have been the word that I used right there instead. Be engaged. And sometimes we can respond verbally or non-verbally. Have you ever, while you're reading the Scriptures, non-verbally done something like this? Oh, because what happened? You got it. It's clicked. It's made sense. Or the nonverbal part of it too is that you've made the app. You figured out how to make the application to improve your life as a child of God. I don't know too many people that say eureka anymore when they've discovered something. But when that light goes off with God's Word and you know that you understand, there's something special about it. There is a ladder to success to studying God's Word. But the first part of it is being quick to hear it. Now, we can be slow to speak, too. There's that idea in here, too, that sometimes we want to interrupt God, don't we? You think about this. The reason why we have two ears and only one mouth is that we may listen more and talk less. This comes from an uninspired philosopher. But really, isn't that what James is telling us about? Listen more and talk less. Right listening is the beginning of right living. Well, right listening is the way we obtain faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. All too often, what we want to do is we want to tell God, but if you'd only do it this way, we think we can improve upon God's Word, don't we? What we need to do is listen to it more, because there is a way that seems right to a man, but what happens? That way leads to what? Destruction. Listen. Don't speak. And then understand this. Be slow to anger.
You ever get angry at what the Bible says? Has that ever happened to you? Maybe it hasn't happened to you, but you know it happens to people all the time because that's one of the reasons they reject God's Word. They don't like what it says. It upsets them and they get mad. They close the book, throw it across the room. Whatever action that they might take. We reject the Word out of anger. Do you see that there is a process that takes place in our personal relationships that also takes place even with God? The anger of a man does what? It does not achieve the righteousness of God. Getting angry at God doesn't achieve righteousness. Getting angry with one another does not achieve righteousness. Getting angry at those who are outside the kingdom of God does not achieve the righteousness of God. It doesn't make us who we're supposed to be. And then Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 1 says, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. A wise son. I can't say that I was always a wise son growing up. I remember the rebukes of my father quite often, and I didn't always agree with them. But you know what? I also know what the Hebrew writer says, that a father chastens those whom he loves. And that's what God does. And sometimes we don't get to hear what we want to hear, but the things that we need to hear. And that's what we get when we go to God's Word. And therefore, we need to listen. But I want to suggest something to you. If you're in James chapter 1, I want you to drop down to verse 21. Because it says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. We have to have a heart that is soft. It has to be good soil in order for that word to be planted, implanted into us, so that it can grow and so that it can produce fruit. That fruit that Jesus spoke of in Luke chapter 8 that produced 100-fold will not produce fruit on rocky ground or the wayside or the thorny ground. It will only produce fruit in the heart that approaches God with meekness and humility. And you keep on reading. He says, here's the true test of whether or not you're listening to God. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. Verse 22. Deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Remember, when we're listening, more than likely, we're only retaining 50% of what we've heard immediately following the discussion anyway. But what we want with the Word of God is not simply to be hearers. When we sit down to read, and we have a weekly reading schedule, what is the purpose of that reading schedule? And right now, I know that if you look back on the bulletin board, we're almost finished with it, but I put up there, rooted and built up in Him, a little flyer back there on the board for the theme for this year. It was to spend time with the New Testament. And even though you're only the reading schedule is only for a chapter a day, I'm not telling you to spend 5 minutes and you're reading, you're done for the day, am I? Are we listening to what we're reading? Are we truly hearing? Are we making the application? See, that's what James is telling us. It said, if we are truly listening to God, then what we're doing is we are finding a way to make proper application in our lives. A doer of the Word isn't someone that is earning his salvation. But if you receive that implanted Word with meekness, what is it able to do? It's able to save your soul. And if it's able to save your soul, then that means you're going to take it, you are going to use it, so that you can live the life God expects you to live.
Remember this morning I said, how can we become better listeners?
Well, think about this. In the personal relationship, we want to be treated by others a certain way, don't we? So we're told there in Matthew 7, treat them the way you want to be treated. Now I want you to think about this. When it comes to God's Word, when it comes to the relationship that you have with the Father above, how you treat Him may very well be how you end up being treated in the Day of Judgment.
You think about that. Listening requires one to be ready to understand. And that was, we looked at the Berean brethren. Looking at God's Word, listening to God's Word, means just that very same thing. We have to receive it. We have to be willing to understand in the process. And let me suggest this. Listen to God's Word with love. Just as you would think about how love is important to each and every one of us, listening to God's Word, if you listen to it with the love that we're supposed to have for Him, that He had for us, then sometimes that bitter pill of the gospel becomes easier to swallow because you know it's there to save your soul. We're told this morning to listen unselfishly. When we look at God's Word, are we only looking at it for what's in it for me? Or are we looking at it at the interest of God and what we can do for Him, how we're going to be able to glorify Him? When we think about listening to learn another's thoughts or feelings, that should be exactly what we're doing when it comes time to hear God's Word. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 2, a fool has no delight in understanding but in expressing his own heart. It's not our intent to be foolish. We listen to learn. We use listening as a time to think. We talked about David in Psalm chapter 1, meditating upon the Word of God day and night. He's taking time to learn, but he was also taking time to think about what was stated. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 13, he who gives an answer before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 23, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth and a word spoken in due season. How good is it? In other words, think before we respond. Even think before we respond to God's Word. Listen because you really care. Listen because you want to honor God. Listen to His words shows respect for His authority. Listening to His words that springs from caring about the Father above. It reflects our love and is an act of grace even. And remember what we talked about, practice active listening. Be fully engaged when we're looking at God's Word. But there are some reasons why some folks don't listen. They won't listen to the gospel. Why? Well, very quickly this evening, some people want to establish their own righteousness or the zeal for my way is what you might call it. You see that as Paul is writing in Romans chapter 10 about the people that he loved, his brethren, the people of Israel. That what they had done is they had just gone so far that they were doing things in ignorance, establishing their own righteousness. They weren't listening to God's Word. Then there's indifference. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, we can attribute indifference to becoming dull of hearing. There were a lot of things that the writer there in Hebrews was trying to express to them, but he couldn't go any further with them than what he had to do going back to the basics of the gospel. Why? Because they had become dull of hearing. That's somewhat of indifference. Distractions. Cares of the world. You go back to Luke chapter 8 and the parable of the sower, and you see that that's just it. Those things that were
the seed that was planted among the thorns. The thorns grew up around it and choked it out. What was that? That was the cares of the world coming in, the riches and the cares of the world surrounding them and becoming distractions. It very well could be the same thing for us. How about being hard-headed personalities? Why don't you turn your Bibles to Zechariah chapter 12. I'm going to begin reading at verse 11. Zechariah chapter 12, beginning at verse 11. How about Zechariah chapter 7, verse 11? But they refused to heed, is how it starts out. Shrugged their shoulders and stopped their ears so that they could not hear. What were we talking about? The things that were being stated. You have to go back to verse 5, where God tells Zechariah, say to all the people of the land and the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months during the 70 years, did you really fast for me? For me? When you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink for yourselves? Should you not have obeyed the words of the Lord proclaimed through the former prophets when Jerusalem and the cities around it were inhabited and prosperous and the south and lowland were inhabited? Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice, show mercy, compassion, everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. But they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders and stopped their ears so that they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Thus, great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Hardness of heart, stubbornness, stopping up the ears. It reminds me of the little child that sticks his fingers in the ears and says, I can't hear you. That's what these people were when it came to God's Word. Jumping to conclusions. It's real easy to do that when you think about Acts chapter 14 and verse 11. Barnabas and Paul are out and they're preaching the gospel, and all of a sudden an erroneous conclusion is reached by the masses that were listening to them. Now when the people saw that Paul had done the miracle that he had performed, they raised their voices saying in Lyconian language, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. Sometimes it's easy for us to jump to conclusions, wrong conclusions. We can have incorrect ideas. Assumption can be part of it. Acts chapter 10, Peter had to have that sheet dropped down to him and shown to him that God was proclaiming to him that nothing is unclean. Because Peter said, I've never eaten anything that was unclean. Nothing like that has ever touched my lips. It was an incorrect assumption on his part because he was being told to go to the Gentiles. We can get carried away by emotions. In Acts chapter 19, at verse 40, the things that have transpired in Ephesus and the rioting that's taking place, and you think all of a sudden, for we are in danger of being called into question for today's uproar, there being no reason which we may give to account for this disorderly gathering. And it's really easy to stir up emotions in people and get them to just run amok. You think about this, the day that Jesus Christ stood trial and Pilate was ready to set him free, and yet, the people's emotions were stirred up against Christ. And they cried out for Barabbas. And then Pilate asked, what should I do with this man? And they cried out, crucify him. You think about being deceived by prejudices. Acts chapter 17 and verse 18. The Thessalonian brethren, or those in Thessalonica, were not considered to be as fair-minded as those in Berea. These were more fair-minded. It's supposed to be verse 10. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. How about the deceitfulness of sin? These are reasons why people don't listen to the gospel today. And you think about all of this. The Hebrew writer talks about that. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11 again talks about becoming dull of hearing. We want to keep in mind that we don't want to stop up our ears. We don't want sin to come into our lives. And you go back to the book of Hebrews and look at Hebrews chapter 3. And as you're looking at that and you see what the writer there is saying in verse 12, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." An evil heart of unbelief. That is something that deceives. So there are people that don't listen. And just like this morning, we want to give people hearing aids. How can we help others listen? By the very same things. When it comes to the Word of God, we speak the truth in love. We speak with wisdom. All of these passages here from the Proverbs we looked at this morning. In Colossians chapter 4, we season our speech with grace and salt. We learn how to answer people. And it begins with listening so that we can formulate a proper answer for those who are rejecting God's Word right now. But our relationship to the Word of God begins with hearing, just like it does everything else. And as I said this morning, the first step to fellowship with God is just that. It is listening to Him. It is paying attention to His words. It is allowing God's words to touch and change our lives. But we have to have that good and honest heart in order to do that. And just like the closing slide was this morning, are you listening? Are we willing to listen to God's Word? Because if we are willing to listen to God's Word, then that also means that what we're willing to do is be obedient to it. And if that is your desire this evening, we encourage you to do just that. Do those things that will save your soul, because the song that we're about to sing is an invitation song. Jesus, the loving shepherd, calleth thee now to come. Are we listening? If that is your desire this evening, to come into fellowship with God and His Son, then be baptized for the remission of your sins. If it is you have broken fellowship with God, be reconciled to Him this evening. Will you obey Him? Won't you come as together we stand and as we sing?